today, I fall on my knees.
You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
And so he's being called to his hometown because he is of the house and line of David. So he makes this journey, this 90-mile journey, which was a harsh journey. But the question is, why did Mary go with him? She didn't have to go on that trip.
Well, she was pregnant, yeah.
Now,
and that would have meant even more that she should stay home.
Exactly, right? I mean, if this same thing were happening today, it'd be like, all right, I've got to go to Bethlehem to register, but my
goodness. Also fulfilled a very complicated prophecy. I think it was Isaiah, wherever, out of you, O Bethlehem, little house of bread shall come forth the promised one, the deliverer.
Yeah.
And Jesus is born in the house of bread, Bethlehem.
Right. So in other words, you could say that the reason why Mary made the trip was to fulfill the prophecy. But the way that the Lord works is he often works through human circumstances as well. She could have stayed in Nazareth. She didn't stay in Nazareth. Why not? Why would she have made that trip? And here's one of the suggestions as to why. Everyone knew, or everyone believed in Nazareth, that this was an illegitimate pregnancy.
Oh, yeah, they're not. They didn't see any angelic visitor, so they're going, yeah, this couple's making this stuff up here because they had premarital sex.
Right. And so one theory is that Joseph was so concerned if he left her behind in Nazareth, he didn't feel confident that she wouldn't be stoned. So he took her with him in order to protect him.
Sex outside of marriage, you get stoned to death.
The stoning, yeah.
Wow, yeah. Right. And that's still going down today, by the way, folks, in certain parts of the world.
So can you imagine that here's Joseph. He doesn't even feel comfortable leaving his betrothed, his pregnant wife, even with her parents. He doesn't feel confident, so he takes her with him. They make this 90-mile journey. They get to Bethlehem. And the way that the story usually goes, and if you see this in movies, you'll see it oftentimes, that Joseph is arriving into Bethlehem. Mary begins to go into labor, and he begins knocking on various doors, saying, please, will you let us in?
Nobody has any room.
The innkeeper, there's always a saintly old innkeeper who comes out of nowhere and says, I'm so sorry. We have no room for you. But we have this stable out back.
Where our lambs are born.
Right.
Yep. Ironically. Yep. Oh, the lamb. Yep. Remember, behold the lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That's coming up.
Yeah. But what I would suggest to you is the story has a little bit of a darker twist to it.
What's that?
It's this idea that, Joseph and Mary is really going to the home of their ancestral lineage. These are all members of the same family. They've all come into Bethlehem in order to be registered.
Well, the words of gossip have reached them.
They all knew
this
story.
We'll hide you in the manger.
And so what happens when it says there was no room for them in the inn? It's not that there wasn't any room.
This is conjecture on your part.
Yeah, but it's based on some fairly good scholarship.
Yeah?
That there was
heard that before.
There was no room for them in the inn. And it was because they were being rejected by their own families.
Sure.
Because of this out-of-wedlock pregnancy.
And isn't that just like God?
And so you have this story. It rips your heart apart, you know, to think that here's this. I mean, think about today. If you have a woman that's 9 months pregnant,
yeah,
everybody makes way for her.
Yeah.
You make room for her on a subway, on a bus. Everybody's ready to jump up and help.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit hard to believe that somehow a woman who's 9 months pregnant shows up at an inn and there's no room for them.
Yeah, well, this is the age of law. and they're all into the law, thinking the law can save them. Not love, not brotherhood, but the law. If you set it, follow the letter of the law, you might get into heaven.
Right. And they may have even heard the story that, oh, we heard that, we were told that an angel came to them, and this child that's been conceived in her womb is by the Holy Spirit. And yet, nobody believed it. Nobody believed it. And so when they basically find this place in the stable, and since I've been to Bethlehem, and I think you've been to Bethlehem as well, right? And been to those places, the caves that are right outside the village, where shepherds would take their flocks and they would seek refuge in these caves with their sheep. And that was basically the place where Mary and Joseph went, to a place that was a cave. It was going to be relatively warm and out of the elements.
And a place where the sheep and lambs would spend the night. And guess who gets born in one of those caves?
The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, and of course we know that Bethlehem was the place. It's not far from Jerusalem. I want to say it's 10 or 12 miles or something
short
like that.
Short taxi drive, yeah.
Yeah. And it was on the hillsides outside of Bethlehem where shepherds raised the sheep that were going to be sacrificed on the Passover.
I forgot about that. Yeah, so right near the field, yeah, the Passover lamb.
The perfect lamb without spot or blemish.
And that's why they say Jesus was without sin. He who had no sin became sin on the cross so that we that have sin can become sinless. Yeah. What an amazing, immaculate timing and the story of love from God.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I mean, I think most of us at some point or other in our lives have suffered rejection at some point. You know, we've had people who, you know, diminished us or belittled us or said that we were never going to amount to anything, right? And you see elements of the story where this was Jesus's life from the very beginning. He was rejected and despised by men, the very people that he came to save. And yet, as you say, in his great love for us, he basically looked beyond that to this greater mission that I'm coming to save.
And a very complicated prophecy said the Messiah would come. I think it was Isaiah, but I'm not sure who prophesied it, but that he would be born in the house of bread. He would go to Egypt and yet be reared as a Nazarene. This is a prophetic word. If hundreds, if not thousands of years in advance, and a very complicated prophetic word. And yet Jesus is born in Bethlehem. Then this bad guy who's in charge of the Romans says, by the way, there's a decree going out, and kill the firstborn of every Hebrew child. And so they escape into Egypt. And then later on, an angel appears before them saying, Joseph and Mary, you can now return to Nazareth. Because the enemy of the child has died, and that's when Caesar Augustus
died.
Herod is dead. Yeah. I got the names mixed up a little here, but yeah.
Out of Egypt, I have called my son.
Crazy.
Yeah.
How, and very complicated. The chances of that coming together accidentally, and yet people, you know.
Yeah, and as you said, Bethlehem means house of bread, and the bread of life came out of the house of bread. Jesus is the bread of life.
Yes. So there we have the story of the birth of Jesus. And that's what Christmas is all about.
Yeah.
And it's a time of giving and giving dignity to others. It's really a beautiful time of the year because people are more mannerly, more giving, and they're happy. Because you're more happy when you're on the give. Everybody, when you're fighting in traffic, isn't it much more fun to go, oh, you let somebody in, and then they'll let somebody in front of them up ahead, and it's like, okay, so you go into the post office, and you hold the door open, which means they're going to be in front of you. So what? Have a little patience, and you'll feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
Even if they don't say thank you, it doesn't matter. You're not doing it for their thankful. You're doing it because it's right. And the moment we give dignity, we gain dignity.
Yeah, when you're a little kid and you're so looking forward to Christmas and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting for that day because you're so excited about the gifts that are going to come.
Yeah.
And then as you get older, you realize, oh, the real joy is in the giving. It's not in the receiving.
Yeah.
It's more blessed to give than to receive.
And you feel real mature when that starts to happen. Well, I don't really care what I get. And you know what I mean? And then you go, oh, I'm really maturing and becoming a better person. And then, you know, you could travel somewhere and say, hey, Rhett, I found this shirt like the one you're wearing. What's it with the collar? And maybe I want to go be a minister at the hospital or something, a chaplain or something. So you say, I was looking for a shirt, but I couldn't find your size. That's okay. I don't need another shirt. The fact that you thought about me is the greatest gift.
Right. Yeah.
And it really is. You'll find later in life it's the thought. You know. So what does God do? He says, he's always on the give.
Yeah.
The beautiful flowers that grow, the trees, the breeze. Look at the multitude. Look at cows. Cows, they eat grass. What are you having today, Morris? More grass. All I got is grass. What a horrible life. Only grass, but they don't know it, so they're okay. We got, what do we have? We have spinach, and we have carrots, and then we have lamb, and we have this, and beef, and we have, green beans and tomatoes, and it goes on and on and on. All the multitude of flavors, each one a gift from God above, right?
God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
If somebody's out there and they're hurting or they're depressed in this holiday season, maybe you could just lead us in a short little 30-second prayer or something for people to maybe find what we've been talking about and know that they can be forgiven of all their past mistakes and sins. There is forgiveness. There's a new beginning. It can be a new day with Jesus if you want it to be. Would you mind? This is Pastor John, by the way, and Pastor John is J-O-N, and he is the pastor over at St. Paul's. On 999 Flame Vine in Vero Beach, Florida, and they have a healing service every Thursday at 11 a.m. They believe in the Spirit of God and all the giftings thereof.
Yeah. So, Father, we can't thank you enough for this Christmas season, and Lord, we confess that we've lived our lives. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, each of us to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. And we can't thank you enough for that, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And Lord, today we ask your forgiveness for our sins. We ask you, Lord Jesus, would you be my Lord and Savior? Would you fill me with the Holy Spirit? Lord, that this would be the greatest Christmas that we've ever experienced in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor John. Hey, this is Rhett Palmer, and it's a new day, if you want it to be. Up to you, kids.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Let